In today's gospel, Christ's resistance to the temptations of Satan is a model for what we must also do. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It happened at a retirement village out in Phoenix, Arizona. A man and his wife had recently retired, bought a little house there, were pretty well settled in, things were going pretty well. So one morning, the man was sitting at the table having a nice breakfast his wife had prepared. Meanwhile, she was busy about many things. She was vacuuming the living room. She had the washer and dryer going. He looked at the whole thing. He felt pretty good, so he looked at his wife and he said to her, "I'm proud of you." Now, because everything was noisy, the vacuum, the washing machine, she couldn't quite hear him. She said, "What?" He said, "I'm proud of you." She replied, "I'm tired of you, too." She just couldn't hear him. But I think sometimes that's the way it is between God and us. We don't hear God very well because of all the din of the world around us. We let it block out God's word to us. This morning, for example, we see Jesus out in the desert be tempted by the devil. Those temptations that he faces are the same ones we face. He faces them successfully. Sometimes we don't, because we allow his word to be blocked out. For example, I don't know how many of you watched the Academy Awards last week, but did you know that all of the actors and actresses that are nominated for the Academy Award, when they come, receive a swag bag? I don't know if they actually get a bag, but they can all get all kinds of gifts because they've been nominated. Now, the word swag, you know, is a word that comes from the 1800s. It's a kind of a slang word that means loot. And basically, loot you didn't earn yourself. So this is what they get. They get a swag bag. Now, in this year's swag bag, for example, there was a week's retreat, some kind of a wellness spa in Sri Lanka, of all places, worth $25,000. There was also a week's vacation at a very luxury resort in the Maldives Islands. The Maldives Islands are located off of India, a very tropical, beautiful place. That was worth $23,000. They also got a gift certificate to Ancestry, you know, the DNA thing, for their whole family. It must be, it was a VIP version of Ancestry. That was worth $22,000. The cheapest thing I could find in the swag bag was a designer knapsack. That was only worth $300. Allegedly, this year's swag bag for those actors and actresses was $100,000. Now, you know what I thought of immediately when I was reading about that? I don't know why this popped into my mind, but it did. All I could think of was that group of people in India who live in the slums, whose livelihood is to go to the dumps of the city, and pick through the rubble there to find pieces of metal, cloth, that they could sell to recycling centers. That's the way they live, pawing through the garbage of the city. I wonder what they would think of a swag bag. I wonder what God thinks of a swag bag. More importantly, what do you and I think of a swag bag? Are we tempted to be jealous because we don't have those things? Are we tempted to think, you know, if I only had that kind of stuff, I'd be happier. My life would be better if I had that swag. And see, when we allow that kind of stuff to fill our hearts and our minds, we don't hear God's word to us. Jesus today is tempted to be concerned with swag. Turn these stones into bread. Turn the stones into what you want. He won't. See, when we allow swag to get in the way, we don't hear God's word saying to us, for example, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. What's treasure in heaven? It's not the swag. It's honesty, truthfulness, kindness, generosity. But when we're so concerned with the swag that the world dumps on us, we don't hear God's word. Maybe we don't hear his word when he says to us, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. We don't hear that because we're so concerned about getting the swag. Or again, the devil takes Jesus up on the parapet of the temple and says, throw yourself down because the angels will take care of you and people will be impressed. They'll see you, you know, have this, you tumble down and you'll be saved, and they'll be so impressed by you, they'll follow you because they're impressed by you. See what the devil is tempting Jesus to do here? Win people's hearts the easy way. Don't go to the cross, Lord. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to take that difficult path. Take the easy way to win them. And I wonder whether that temptation is yours and mine too, you know? Take the easy way out whenever we can. Now, we can do a lot of things more easily today than our ancestors could do, and that's fine. I might have told you this story before, but when I was working on the degree for a doctorate of theology over in Louvain, Belgium, years ago now, a good number of years ago, working on my thesis, at one point I had 5,000 file cards on my desk, working, you know, all the notes and quotes I needed for my thesis. And I remember one day, I needed one particular book. The only place I could get that book was in the Royal Library in Brussels, Belgium. I had to get on the train, travel 20, 25 miles to Brussels, get into the library, get the book, spend the day with the book, put it back, get on the train, go back to Louvain. It was a hard day, a tough day. Now, if I had been working on that thesis today, you know what I would have had to do? Go online. Go up to my room in my pajamas, right? Flip on the thing, go online, get the book. It would have been much easier. Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, no reason why you don't do the easy things when we can. But the temptation is this. Are we tempted to think that when things aren't easy, we don't have to do them? If things are hard, we shouldn't have to do hard things. Restoring a broken relationship is hard. Does that mean we don't have to do that because it's hard? Giving up what we want so we have money to share with those who need is hard. I mean, we don't have to do it because it's hard. So that's the temptation, to avoid anything that's hard. Always find the easy way out, even when that means we don't do the hard things. So we don't, the world says to us, don't listen to Jesus' word. When Jesus says to you, you have to pick up your cross and follow me, don't listen to that. That doesn't mean you have to die, but it means that you have to be willing to sacrifice. And that means doing the hard things. Don't listen to that. You shouldn't have to do anything hard. Or again, finally, of course, the devil says to Jesus, I'll give you the whole world. All you have to do is worship me. I'll give you the whole world. Now, you and I might be tempted to say, I would never, ever worship anybody but God. I would never commit idolatry. I would never do that. But you know, our society does it all the time. Maybe we're tempted to do it too without even realizing it. You know how we do it in our society? By making ourselves gods. By not being accountable any longer to God. Not being responsible to God. Only to ourselves. Think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What was their sin? Well, they ate the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed God. Well, yeah, they disobeyed God. But what's the devil really tempting them to do in the Garden of Eden? He says, if you eat that fruit, you will become like God yourself. You will know for yourself what's good and bad. You won't have to be responsible to God anymore. You'll become like God. You'll become God. Our society does that all the time. Just one example. Over and over and over again, in all the legislatures of our country, these bills for suicide, assisted suicide, are introduced to allow people to kill themselves or to be killed if they can't do it themselves under certain circumstances. That's been true in Europe for many years now. And you know what it is? It's a foot in the door that leads to all kinds of other things. They started out in Europe, in Belgium and places like that, permitting people to commit suicide when they were terminally ill. You know what that's led to now? Parents can euthanize their defective children. Because, see, it's unkind to let these children grow up and suffer from their defects. When did God ever say it was right for us to kill? When did God give us the permission to kill ourselves or others? But we do it. It's happening all around us. When that happens, when those kinds of laws are passed, what's happening? We make ourselves God. We don't realize that's what we're doing, but we're not accountable to God anymore. We're not responsible to God. We're responsible only to ourselves. So you see, we can not hear God's word any longer without even realizing it. So here's my thought to you. My challenge to you and to myself. During this Lenten time, and maybe all the time, before you go to bed at night, sit down in a chair or sit on the edge of your bed and think back over the day and look at the decisions you made during the day, two or three different decisions you made. You decided to do this, you decided not to do that, you made this choice, you didn't make that choice. Ask yourself this question: why did I make the choices I made? You might find that in many cases, you made a particular choice because you were trying to be a good disciple. But you might also find that sometimes you made a choice or didn't because you were concerned about swag. Or you made a choice or you didn't because you wanted to take the easy way out. Or you made a choice or you didn't because you didn't want to be accountable to anybody but yourself. You didn't want to be responsible to anybody but yourself. Those are the temptations we have to successfully combat, as the Lord did today in the desert. I remind you in closing of that wonderful scene in the scripture where Jesus has been teaching now for some time, and some of the people following him are finding those teachings pretty hard. They leave. They leave him. They can't take it anymore. He turns to Peter and the other apostles, and he says to them, "Will you leave me too?" Remember what Peter says, "In the name of all the apostles, and in your and my name too, I hope." He says to Jesus, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life." To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. May we always hear those words of the Lord. Not let them be drowned out. Because he alone does have the words of everlasting life. May God bless you.